Belinda, and welcome to the podcast, Mike and the Truth. Today's date is May the 31st, 2022. This is a revised version of the latest episode, episode 21, of the interview I did with Star Hayes. We talked about many topics, such as the first time she met Michael, her organization called the Jackson Doll Productions, one of the first fan clubs of the Jacksons that was done in the late 60s, or created in the late 60s. We discussed topics such as his family, his employees, what was it like being his friend, his women, the last time she communicated with him, and things of that nature. Also, the possibility of me doing an interview, a documentary about Michael. We discussed that too. So I hope you guys enjoyed this interview. And if you have anything you want to discuss, anything you want to talk about regarding this interview, you can always email me. My email is michaelandthetruth@gmail.com. You can listen to the podcast on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And the website to Star Hayes, the organization, is jacksondollproduction.com. Thank you.
No.
I'm good. How are you?
Well, thank you so much for asking.
You're welcome. Okay. All right. Let me see if I can go ahead and start this. So, today, April the 10th, 2022, this is the podcast, Mike on the Tube, and this is episode 21, an interview with Cheryl Star Hayes. I don't know, Abby, who is one of Michael's closest friends. And this is the interview that we're going to do today. Now, I don't have any questions ready for you. I'm just going to let you tell everyone who you are. And then if I have any questions, I can just ask you. And you can just go ahead and start, you know, telling about your life and how you, and how you met Michael and his family and all those things.
Okay, fantastic.
And then I can...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And then I, when you're done with that, I can go ahead and if I think of a question, I can just ask you.
Fantastic, Belinda. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Star Hayes, and I am the CEO for Jackson Doll Productions, which is the oldest and one of the first fan clubs ever for the Jackson 5. And I am so happy to say we are celebrating our 54th anniversary in August this year. Let's see. I met Michael when we were both very quite young, 10 and 11, actually. And I met him at the Ohio State Fair in Columbus, Ohio. And how I ended up meeting Mike was that my mom was taking me to the Jackson 5 concert in Columbus, Ohio. And she was running late because she didn't anticipate that it would be as long as the drive was. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio. And so I'm in the back just having the worst anxiety ever. At that time, I didn't know it was anxiety, but more anxious, you know, because I'm like, oh, I cannot miss Michael Jackson. You know, this is going, you know, my whole world was going to be shattered if I didn't get to that concert. And I am just, you know, whining, and she's going, girl, if you don't be at a quiet, and so now I've got to, like, keep it in, and, you know, and I'm just having, you know, a meltdown. And so finally we got to the Ohio State Fair, and the concert had started, you know, and now I'm really upset because I didn't miss Michael coming on at the most difficult points I could think of, you know, at that time. You know, you're a kid, and you're excited, and, actually, I don't know how long they had been on stage for, because I don't remember all of that. But I do remember we were walking to get a seat, and I saw Mr. Jackson. And Joe Jackson, and I walked up to him and said, hi, Mr. Jackson, my name is Star Hayes. And I'm 11 years old, and I'm going to marry your son, Michael Jackson. And he thought that was the funniest thing, you know. And my mother kind of looked at me like in shock. And my cousin and my little sister were with me. They were just looking and laughing. He said, well, I don't know, sweetheart. Well, maybe you will. You know, he said, would you like to meet him? And I said, well, okay. And so he gave my mother the information where they were staying at and everything. And I think it was the, I want to say Sheraton. It may have been, I don't quite remember, but it was a really nice hotel. And so after the, we watched the concert and everything, we went to the hotel to meet the Jackson 5. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I got it all prepared. What am I going to say to Mike? You know, I'm just going over and over again. I'm saying this and this and that. So Mr. Jackson took us up on the floor where they were, and he knocked on each one of their doors. And Jackie came out, Tito, Marlon, Jermaine, you know, hi, how you doing? Then Michael comes out. He says, hi, I'm Michael. I completely had a meltdown. I screamed, hollered, leave me alone, Jimmy Dog. I can't breathe. And my mother said, what is wrong with you? And I can't take it. And at that time I had asthma. So now she's, you know, a little concerned that I may be, you know, have an asthma attack. But I was just overwhelmed because, I mean, I had all these pictures on my wall, and I had took a picture of him and grouped it in my pillowcase and inside my shoes. And, you know, I mean, I had told my mom, you know, and my dad, I'm going to meet Michael Jackson. They were, okay, sure. You know, and I don't think they really thought I was serious, but I was very serious, you know. And so that's how I met Michael.
that's a great story. This interview was supposed to happen a year ago, but things changed. So I wanted to apologize for not doing this a year ago. Now we're finally going to do this interview. So you told us how you met Michael, and how did you struck a friendship that lasted a very long time with Michael? Because I know, you know, he is one of the biggest stars of all time, even in that point. And, you know, a lot of people don't really, like, I don't think people can really try to understand what is it like to say this man was your friend and you was very close to him because he was such a big star. People, you know, removed his humanity from him, so they couldn't really pick up, you know, or understand how can someone still be friends with somebody this big of a superstar. So if you can explain how you became friends with him and how you became close to him?
Well, you know, over the years, you know, I would see him, you know, I started the fan club. I started the Cleveland Jackson 5 fan club. And so that kind of solidified the relationships that I would always see him. And so I guess from seeing him all the time, you know, actually kind of growing up together, because you remember every time I would see him, you know, as the years progressed, we're getting older and older and older and older, you know. And, you know, as children, you look at each other a little different than you do as you become young adults, you know. And so it was just a progression of things. But when you termed it in close friends, I'm going to say as close as one could be at different times in his life, because Michael's life was so hectic and so complicated. He would say to me, "Star, I don't have time for myself." And I, you know, at sometimes when I was younger, I didn't understand that. I thought he would just be, you know, making excuses up. But as I got older, I began to realize just how busy he was, because you have to understand, I did not realize how big of a star Michael Jackson was until much later on in life. I just, you know, I never saw him as this huge star that, you know, that people see. I just thought, oh, that's just Michael. You know what I'm saying? And, it was an earth-shaking experience. One day I was, he was in tour, and I was walking backstage to my seat, and I looked down the audience. I said, I was talking like, where did all these people come from? And this guy said, do you know who that is? That's Michael Jackson. I go like, yeah. He said, he's the biggest star in the world. I got, and I looked down and I said, well, I guess he really is, isn't he? It was only at that time that it clicked on me that, wow, he was this, you know, huge Omega superstar.
Wow. Yeah. What tour was that? The one of the tours from the 70s or the 80s?
The 90s. The 90s. When he won his single tour. You know, I've seen so many tours. I don't always remember very big.
Dangerous Tour? You mean the Dangerous Tour?
Yes. Probably okay. The Dangerous okay. Crew. Yeah, that's what I realized how big of a superstar he was. Because I did not have to, I just never. People, but I didn't really focus on that. You know what I'm saying? I was more interested in what Michael had going on per se personally. Right. And, you know, the accolades from the fans, you know. So that was really earth-shattering for me. Like, my God, he's a big star now. Funny.
Yeah. Okay, so like I never met I never met megastars, so I don't know. Like I met like local people, if you want to call them stars, but I never met Michael. Never had the blessing of meeting Michael, but a lot of fans have. So and I try to like with my podcast, I try to like focus on stories on people who met Michael of a certain skin color, if you know what I mean. Because we have, it's all over the fan community of fans who have met Michael of a certain skin color. And I feel like, Michael loved his black people, he loved the black community, but there's not a lot of stories out there of people who can say they knew him and they're black. Because, you know, they're there, they're out, they exist, but the media and, yes, some members of the fan community do not do a lot of stories on them. I guess because they don't want them to be part of his history. I don't know. Wow. So I want to use my podcast to really tell people. Yeah,
that's
tell the story. That's what I've observed.
Oh my God!
Because like you said, you came from you knew Michael since the '70s, and yet nobody seems to have you in the fan community. No one seems to interview you to tell your story, and I thought that was weird. But interview fans who, the way I look at it, stalked him the last years of his life because they want a story to tell and their skin color. I do believe there's some racism going on in the fan community. So I wanted to really focus on the ones who knew him, who are of a certain skin color. And, you know, because I want to really say what I want to say, but I don't want to start anything. But that's what I've observed. So, you know,
That's deep.
That is.
See, but there's some validity in that. There is some truth in that because as long as I've been in the game, that a lot of people are not very welcoming to me and not very supportive.
I'm not surprised. At all.
I do not per se, per quote, represent what they think probably he should have been affiliated with.
Right.
But then again, they don't know him. So you only know the image that you see. You don't know him. You know,
they don't
know him because there are some beautiful African American women that he was very interested in. Ramonica Harrison is one.
Ramonica Harris, yes, that's a friend of mine. Yeah.
And how I knew, I never met her. I would love to meet her, by the way. You let me know that.
Yeah. Well, you go ahead and tell what you know. I'll get into it, but you go ahead and tell me what you know.
Well, when you talk about people with Michael, you have to talk about, you know, there were different stages in his life and different levels of relationships as well. You know, I got in from the very beginning, so I'm always going to be welcome. Welcome into his environment wherever it was, you know, because I could separate the Michael Jackson the star out there from the Michael Jackson the person that I knew and grew up to love. So that was his persona. But a lot of people are always somebody to catch me. Bob Jones was a motherfucker. Red Ambassador rest in hell. He did everything he could to sabotage me.
I hate that man.
Michael had said rock some things about me, and I know he didn't say it.
He didn't say that.
Because the first part, they didn't make sense. It was
Bob Jones was a homosexual. On top of that, Bob Jones hated Michael. He barely knew him. Nobody wanted to hire this guy. Somebody begged Michael to hire Bob Jones. I mean, the guy was a toxic human being. And during the trial, he revealed his true colors. So,
Bob Jones, let me tell you what I told Michael.
He's full of shit.
I said, we got into it. I said, Michael, Bob Jones is in love with you and in competition with me. He said, Star, don't say that. Yes, he is. And I said, if you don't get that MF, I will. We had it out. We had, me and Bob Jones, he got raw meat. I cussed him out. Yes, I did. He had security put me out. He had the hotel security tell him I couldn't come into the hotel because I was waiting on Michael. Michael wasn't there. Of course, I wasn't staying there at the hotel. And so he tried to have me put out the hotel. And so I know what he does. And Michael jumped me deep. And when Michael found out, Michael jumped me deep into this. I mean, it was just a mess. It was. You better ask Bobby Brown when he's dating Janet. Because Bobby Brown told the truth.
You know what's funny? She didn't mention that in the documentary. She didn't even bring up Bobby Brown. No. Bobby Brown said that in his book and in, I think in that movie, he said the family is color struck, and you can tell. You can tell that they have some white women.
All of them are not color struck now. Not all of them. Miss Jackson's definitely not. Okay.
No,
but
yeah, I didn't see that.
No, because Miss Jackson, you know, Miss Jackson, you know, wanted him to have a woman to come. Mm-hmm. You know, so no, not her.
Understandably.
Yes, she did. They put Stephanie Mills out there, and she didn't even have a real relationship with Michael. So I don't understand that.
Yeah, he said, Taj did say that Stephanie Mills will be in a docuseries. Okay.
They didn't have a relationship together.
I like Stephanie Mills.
You know, and that's
true. I like her.
I talked to Stephanie Mills myself. I met her during that time when she went on tour. And because Michael told me himself they're just friends. And I asked her, you know, I said, hey, so you and Michael? She said, oh, no, we're just friends. So next thing I know, I'm seeing feeds that, oh, we relationship, you know. I'm like, okay, well, that's not what he said. Now, I don't know if y'all had a one-night stand, a two-night stand, a three. I don't know anything about that at all.
That's only know she knows that.
He never considered y'all having a relationship.
So, okay, but I want
to They would rather run with that than run with Ramonica or Teresa's story.
Now, Teresa, yeah. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't believe her story anymore. I used to believe her story. I don't believe it anymore. I don't know.
I think her story that I do know is true. Paulette Chapman's story is true.
Yeah, I know who she is. I know exactly. She's the one that actually.
And I tell you how I know her story is true because I saw her. She was on one of the tour circuits, and she was downstairs in the hotel. I didn't know who she was, but there was two girls sitting there from New York, and the security guard came upstairs to room to tell me and Michael, and it's me and Michael, his mom, security, some other people in the room, and they came upstairs to tell Michael that there was two girls down there, and so I, you know, found myself going down there before he went down there just to see, you know, and sure enough they were sitting there. So I know that she's telling the truth. I know it. I saw her. I never met her, but I saw her. You know, I don't know what Teresa, whether Teresa slept with Michael Jackson or not. I don't know. That's what she said. That's her story. I don't know. But I know Paulette's story is true. And I believe Ramonica Harris' story is true only because I have me and Michael have a mutual friend who kind of told me that Michael had a picture of her in his wallet.
Ramonica told me something similar to that. She said that when women would hit on Michael in the industry or they wanted to be with him, he would pull out her picture and tell them, oh, this is my girlfriend. He did that with Brooke Shields.
And I know that's true.
He did that with Brooke Shields.
I know that's true because I know she's telling the truth because there was a girl's picture that's in his wallet, you know, and I didn't see her. I couldn't say, you know, who per se she was. There was a girl's picture in his wallet because I was giving him my picture and he was putting my picture. You know, I got to put your picture in. You see, and I didn't feel in my place to say who was that, but I do know she was black. And when I saw that picture of her on the thing, I said, she kind of looked like that a little bit, you know, so. I believe her story. I truly believe her story. Along with my friend said, along with what Flo Anthony, also friends of one of my friends that knew Michael too. And she said, yeah, she used to see them together. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No comment. Them fans are going to be. Yeah, so I believe her so instantly. I didn't question it at all. I believed it instantly. Now, let's get into
Paulette Chapman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I saw her myself.
Yeah. What about her friend Sabrina? She had a friend named Sabrina that she hung out with.
Oh my God. That woman has an extraordinary imagination. She called me one day and she was talking about, she was, you know, kind of, taking back on some of the things that Paulette said in the agreement, because they used to see Michael together. Next time she called me, she had a relationship with me. I said, "Your damn laugh. You are mine."
Wow.
You're lying.
Wow.
You're lying. No one night stand, no hidden equipment, no nothing. She didn't have nothing with it.
Okay, so what about Michael's connection with these white women, the Tatum O'Neals, the Brooke Shields? Let's start with those two, because I don't know about Tatum O'Neal, honestly. She has since said some, after that Leaving Neverland trash, she has since said some ridiculous things about Michael, but I think the only reason why she comes at him now is because he exposed her in that Bashir interview where he pretty much said she seduced him. And then she released a statement saying, "I never seduced Michael," and this and that. And, you know, I don't know what Michael told you, but, you know, I don't believe anything coming out of Tatum O'Neal. And John McEnroe, who was married to her, already exposed her. So,
He never talked about him. He never talked about him to me, so I don't know. But what I believe to be a fact is that, and I truly believe that there was an image that they wanted Michael to have, and they wanted Michael.
I'm starting to believe that too. Those two.
An image, and they wanted him to be in a company of certain women, you know,
right,
to make his career look more enchanting. And I think they set out to do that. And I think Michael came to the business at a very early age. At a very early time when the Hollywood standards were different. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so every man, to some degree, wanted a woman of a different nationality for accreditation. So I think they kind of built on that. But as you've seen things have changed now, you know, you have more black men with African-American women now. You know, Beyonce, I love it. So I think at that particular time, there was a hidden agenda to push that on him, you know? And so that's what they did. And remember, Michael Jordan has been very early, so it probably didn't take a whole lot to manipulate him from a young age. And then to stereotype women of color was a very easy thing to do. You know, and so...
Because you lived through it. So his own people did that with him, manipulating him into thinking you're this or you're that, and then you were nothing, and you try to get him to understand that's not what happened. Man, that's crazy. That's real crazy.
If his story was ever told honestly and genuinely, it would be devastating. It would be devastating to see all that he endured. I mean, we would talk about the racial equalities that he had and discrimination he had witnessed when he went down south.
Right.
On tour. And he's very young at that time, you know. And to see that kind of a racial profile, but they don't talk about that. And in some way that shaped to who he was, that he didn't want to see the world divided by race. He wanted, you know, unity. Why can't we all love one another harmoniously? And so I think that helped shape him to who he was. But the reality of it is that it would always be racism, because that's how people are.
I mean, we live in 2022. Look what was going on. Look what's going on now. I mean, you know, In the fan community, outside of fan, even in fan communities of other black icons like Whitney, Prince, Janet, they also have racist people on there. it doesn't even matter at this point. And your story or anyone's story be told properly if, you know, there are fans out there who don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear, unless it deals with the dumbass allegations, that's when, remember, he was black. But other than that, if it's dealing with, like, the biopic that's coming out that I believe is going to mock him, you know, there was a fan, he wanted to ask the estate if the estate executives can let him be in the movie so he can dance like Michael in the movie. I'm like, wait a minute, you're a white person. They should not put a white dancer in a movie about a black person. That's blackface. And he's trying to say, well, you know, it wouldn't matter because, you know, I'm trying to honor him. But he doesn't understand that it's blackface. And they can get any black person to dance, you know, to not any, but they can get black people to do that. They don't really need you. And he tried to play it off. And, you know, some of these white fans think that, you know, they can say these things and not get cornered. And then when they get cornered, is we're against them. No, we're not against you. We just don't want Michael to be seen as he was colorblind and he didn't see race. That's no black person that been through racism can obviously say, I don't see race. They do. They want to be seen more than just being a black person. We all do. But that's not the reality. So if they can't understand that, then there is no real progress. And I remember we had a conversation a year ago. You talked about the racism. You also told the story about one of his former managers, Frankie DeMann, I think that's his name, or Fred DeMann. And what he was doing to you, or did he was going to do to you. He wanted you to, I think the story was you got a call from him saying that Michael's going to be at this place. He wanted you to be there, and you got there and you were waiting for Michael, but you haven't heard from him. So you called him and you let him know, that where you were at. And then he asked you, what are you talking about? I didn't tell you to get there. And then you mentioned that his manager at the time, DeMann, told you to come there, and then he said you need to leave because I didn't say that you should be there. I don't know if you remember that story.
It was something similar to that. What it was after the concert, and he told us that they were having a party at the concert, and it proved to be not true. The party was us. He thought we were going to party, and I don't know why he would think that stuff was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, I got to tell Mike. And so, you know, that didn't go over too well, you know, because if he say, you know, and he did, you know, let me know that unless he tells me himself, you know, no, you don't go anywhere, anybody, because, you know, he knew that they were using, people use that as a way of entrapping with people to get them, you know, to do today. I didn't have to, my morals are so high standard. I would never sleep with anybody. The celebrity anyway, and I didn't have to. I had had all my work in years ago, you know what I'm saying? I didn't have to kiss somebody's ass. I didn't have to, you know, make no business deal. I didn't have to do that. It would not do that.
Right. Wow, that's crazy. Do you think that's why Michael fired Frank DeMann? Or Freddie DeMann?
And that's the problem with every manager he had.
I'm sorry, repeat that again?
I believe Michael had that problem with every management he had. Speaking with the fans for sexual harassment. I don't believe that's the
reason. Okay, Cheryl, I'm kind of losing you.
I think it's been going on for years.
Right.
You know, women being exploited, you know, to meet somebody, and it's up to the woman. I mean, you got to be smart in that, you know? Sometimes women are so vulnerable and they don't know any better. You know, they just want to be celebrity.
Right.
They're excited at the opportunity
to
meet this person, and this person comes in. Oh, hey, if you do this or that, you know, I just knew better. You know, I've been around some little kids. I know the game. And I would tell you, I would You know, they know. I would tell him. Say something inappropriate. Right. I'm telling
you. Wow. So
Michael did not play that shit on him.
So how, okay, so when you were friends with Michael, you were very tight. How is he like as a person? Like, I know Monica told me, I know Monica does not want me to keep talking about her talk, and I'm sorry, but I can't help it. Monica told me that he was very honest, very mellow, very meek. She said he was naive at times. I think that's all I can remember. Oh, of course, very smart.
He was,
yeah. So how was he like
very,
at the first?
He was funny.
Like his personality. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's very funny. Mm-hmm. Very intellectual, deep. I mean, I can't. Right. He could talk about philosophy and religion and
mm-hmm.
and art, and we would be in depth of those conversations verbatim, like debating different philosophical points. I mean,
right. Hello?
Yes, his thirst for knowledge was a lead.
Right. Right.
You know, he liked to laugh. He liked a good comedy. Mm-hmm. But he also liked scary mm-hmm. movies and documentaries, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We both had this, we both loved old movies. So we would right. you know, talk about, like, Singing in the Rain and, Imitation of Life and
right.
Susan Haywood, I Want to Live. And, mm-hmm. those kind of classic movies.
Right.
Susan Cain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Wonderful Life, you know. Those movies that he loved. Right. We loved a lot of.
Right.
Had a lot of, you know. Yeah, that's what he was like.
Okay, so getting into that, now let's get into like his family, and you mentioned a little bit of you were planning on writing a book, but Miss Katherine Jackson is still living, thank God, God bless her, and you would say you're going to blow up the lid on a lot of things going on regarding his family. Now, without saying too
not,
much,
not
you don't want to disrespect Miss Jackson.
Not his family,
not,
say, the
not them. Okay.
The entertainment industry, how that works.
Okay. Well, yeah, you can. Cause I think it's time to expose them as, after everything we've been through as fans,
you know,
how
mean,
they did Michael
they,
and Manny's wrong.
Not just that, how they do, how, you know, what Ramona talked about, you know, that black women forbidden fruit kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Because I don't think these documentaries coming up on Michael, I mean, they might do well, but I don't think they're going to talk about this side of Michael. I don't know. I also gave another document. There's a documentary being done on him right now called Trial of the Media, something that's done by a gentleman by the name of Jin Chohan. And I did email him multiple times, and I gave him your information, and I don't know if a Jin Chohan emailed you and asked you to be interviewed for, he said he did 40 hours of recording, but I don't know if he contacted you for his documentary.
No, he did not, and he probably won't, because I don't think I fit the narrative. I don't think I don't fit what his projection is or what he wants to write about with Michael. And I'm okay with that. So it's my job to write my own.
I agree.
You know? It's my job.
I think it's time. I think it's time. I'll check out the docuseries. I'll check out the documentaries, but I don't think they're going to talk about what you're talking about, what I'm kind of passionate about myself, because that's also him too. But
you know,
it's just
I'm like, for me, a documentary would be, you know, like, you start hanging, tell me a typical day would be hanging out with Michael. You know what I'm saying? Tell me about the time you guys didn't get along so well. You know, kind of things that people need to know that he's human, you know, and he can work a nerve too. He was no angel. He was not. And
he said that himself.
He didn't even like that persona of people thinking him, you know, because one time the girl said something to him crazy to me. And I said, Michael, she just told me you said Jesus Christ. And he said, what did you just say? And he was like, he didn't like it.
They're still seeing him that way.
Right. You know, it's so funny because I said, this girl just told me you was her Jesus Christ. And he got really quiet. He didn't like it, you know. And I said, well, you ain't got to worry about it because you ain't none of my Jesus Christ. And, and he thought for something like, you just wait till later on. And I'm going, what did you just say? What did you just say?
Now,
that's things people need to know, okay? To know that he was, you know, had that kind of like, you know, comeback on his sister, you know?
right. Now, I know he didn't tell, he probably didn't tell you about Brooke Shields. Well, I think we all know now, Brooke Shields, whatever that was with him and her, was more of a PR stunt, like you said, that what they were trying to do back in the day. I'm convinced now more than ever the Brooke Shields thing is a PR stunt. That Michael did not love her. She even said in after he died, she claimed that Michael wanted to marry her. And I'm sorry, I was like, no, I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, that could be true too.
I don't know.
Be true. And I'll tell you why I think that could be true. It could be true because Michael's saying, you know what I'm saying? You know, there were several evolutions of Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
So he could have, because he could have came to a point in his life, well, this is a woman who I've known all these years, and I'm single, and I want to be with somebody. Let me just marry her. So I can see that happening. Yeah, I can see that happening.
Okay. I don't, but okay. And, but he never told you about her. He didn't ask. Okay.
Asked me about other women. You know what I mean? To me, I'm on my own agenda, baby.
Okay.
I never asked him about another woman. No.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Now, we also have, a lot of people talk about, you know, Michael loved children and loved them very much. The man child persona, Peter Pan persona, that I don't know. Now, I don't believe in this thing called Peter Pan syndrome. I do believe he was not a man child because I don't know what that even is. But people feel like because he lacked a childhood that, and he said this himself, he had to compensate as he got older, but people think like he was like that 100% of the time of his life, and nobody can be like that 100% of the time in his life. So, you know, because of these horrible allegations that he had to deal with, people just didn't view him as a level-headed man that could have relationships with women because of these allegations and because of this has become part of, you know, so a lot of people, they think that's who he was, even though they don't really, you know, you don't learn about anybody through the media, because the media is manipulative, and they lie too much, and they keep the truth from being told, but the man-child persona kind of hurts Michael, because it doesn't show people that he was a businessman, a very good businessman, that he put his foot down, he stood up for things. I know Stephanie Mills said in an interview that Michael was no pushover. He didn't let people just step on him and do whatever they want to do with him. He put his foot down. He let
him have it. Oh no, nobody's pushover.
Yes, and also she had described a time where she was hanging out with him, and there were she was in his, I think she was in the house, and outside of his house, there were parents leaving their daughters outside of his house so he can come out and hang out with them. and he didn't know where these kids were coming from. And she thought that was weird. Parents would just leave their kids out and wait for Michael to come out and hang out with their children. She said something related to that. So I was curious if when you were with Michael, you know, he loved the children, and he was very tight with, he was very close to children. What do you make of that? What do you make of all these crazy stories about him with kids? Because I don't believe any of it, but, you know, why do you think people keep doing this to him?
I think that people have an agenda, you know. You know, no news is, any news is good news, so.
Right.
And I think that's what it is. And so for this particular season, you know, mm-hmm. they use what they can against you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, it's pretty sad because it's like, you know, people don't understand, like, why he hung out with kids. And also, he liked being around them, but also it helped him with his music. And so it made him, you know, it helped his creative juices flow because of their innocence and purity. But, you know, you can't really tell things like that to simple-minded people because they find it weird for a grown-up adult to hang out with kids. And it's like, well, you can't look at it in a negative way because, you know, if you looked at it and you see it as something sexual, then there's something wrong with you because it's nothing like that. But, you know, people hold on to that and then accuse him of being this way. I think that's why Leaving Neverland, even though it was a flop, it's still out there, it's still stuck in people's minds because people actually believe the nonsense those two the pathetic men spread on that man, and all to get his money because, you know, one has a doesn't have a job anymore. Nobody wants to really hire him and give him pay. The other one has a debt his deceased father left him, and he can't pay that. So they come together and created this twisted thing on him for money. And unfortunately for them, it's not working in their favor. Even, you know, this crazy director is doing a second version of this. And I don't know what he has for his second version of this stupid movie for his second version, because they're not believable. I mean, the movie has been debunked many times, and this is the main reason why your story has to be told, just other people's story has to be told, because people have to understand, you know, who he was, and that people do get you on things like this. You don't have to do anything. Just mind your own business. And out of nowhere, somebody falsely accuses you of something that you would never do. And it will stick because you have people in your camp who have agendas that want to keep this alive. So people have to understand it. But that starts with the individual. The media is not going to tell you that. They wouldn't even interview his own family to get the other side of the story told, because they didn't care about the truth anymore. They were like, well, this is good for our ratings. We're destroying another black man's legacy, so let's keep this alive. So they're not going to be in the business of telling the truth. That's where, like, it's important to like really tell, you know, balance out the story, because, you know, the media will not do it. They will not tell the real truth. So it's up to you, really, the individual, to find the truth for themselves. So that's what I think about that. Now, let's get into, okay, you were friends with him, and here and there. Now, did anything, your friendship with him, and you talked about how Bob Jones tried to keep you away from him.
Sabotage.
Okay, sabotage. Okay, so. Okay, so. What did you. Did your friendship grew into something more, or was just friendship?
I'm going to answer that question the way that I always honestly have. It was whatever it was, whenever it was.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I don't. That could be anything.
There you go.
So, okay, so let's see. When did you know when you when did you realize he was interested?
He's always been interested. I was an intriguing little girl. I always had something going on.
So very young, okay. So when okay, so how okay, how does it? So when he was interested, did he let you know, or
It
did he
was,
tell you, or did he
you
show you
know,
by
we've
action?
always liked each other. You know what I'm saying? So it's not. It's just we've always liked each other. I mean, I it's hard to sit down and theoretically go through all of those 54 years without me telling the issues that I want to put in my book. It's just, you know, and I'm trying to be as open and honest as I can without divulging a lot of information, you know. He was just Michael. He was just to me a really good person, you know.
Okay. So, let me think. Now, when you were with him, did he always have other women besides you? And you knew about it, and you were like, okay, this is what I signed up for. I'm just going to ignore it. I'm going to pretend I didn't hear it.
Question, because I never know. Like I can't. There's no definition of time on that. I can't say, oh, during this time, that time. I have no answer for that question. None.
Well, Okay. That's a fair answer. That's a fair answer. Now, let me think. Okay, I want to get into his relationship with his family. If he like ever confessed to you about, I know his father. I mean, he loved his mother very much, but his father. Let's start with his father. Now, you told me a year ago that his father. At one point was his manager, did not want you to have a connection with him or dating him, that you said something about he was color struck, something like that.
No,
And
Mr.
what it,
Jackson and
okay,
I were
was he
very, I was very close to Mr. Jackson.
Oh, you were very close to him. Okay.
I was very close to Mr. Jackson. So I didn't have that problem. I can only
Okay.
comment on what was told to me by others. Now, I did
Okay.
not, I mean, the rumors have always been around there, but my relationship is different because I came in at a kid as a kid. You
Okay.
know, so I was treated a little differently than maybe other people were. But
I see.
a lot of what I saw in terms of the racism came from outside of the family.
Right.
You know, I don't, and I'm sure everybody has their own bias about what they like and who they like. I mean, you know, everybody got,
Right.
is it racism or is it just your choice? Or women, is it just what's available? Because what's one thing you have to understand is from where they live and where they are in their in terms of their life, there are not a lot of black women that have access to them.
Right.
So
And this is what I was
we gotta
thinking
keep
too.
that real. So it's not so much racism,
Right.
so much on their level, it's accessibility. You know? If you're not going to the schools they go to, if you're not going to places they go, how are you gonna come into
Right.
contact with them to have that encounter? You know what I'm saying? So
Right, right,
that's where a
right.
lot of the problems were. Accessibility.
Yeah.
I mean, they pretty much all have very black women, you know, at one point in their life.
I see that. Now, did Michael ever tell you about any thing about his siblings that, you go, okay. Any of them that, I'm not saying he didn't like him, he loved his brothers and sisters, but Just little things about him that he told you that you go, okay, interesting, or he just was very
The
chill
only
about
time
him.
he ever said anything that was this kind, and he said it, he was really hurt by what Jermaine had did. And that's what he's saying. I'm really hurt by what Jermaine had done. And that was it. I mean, I didn't ask because I learned, a long time ago, you have to let men tell you what they're comfortable in telling you. And so
Right,
I said,
right.
well, I'm very sorry. And that was it.
Okay. I see. So whenever he was comfortable, I wanted to tell you something, he just told you. He
I
went.
like to think so. I mean, that's a question you
Okay.
need to ask him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So you mentioned that you're writing a book now, and we talked about a individual by the name of Shayna Montague that a lot of people, including myself, were not too
Shanna,
fond of.
Sheena, or
Shayna,
my
whatever.
Shanna.
Shayna. I call her Shayna. I don't know what you call it. I call her Shayna. Yeah, so this particular individual wrote a crazy book some years back
Girl, please.
of her imaginary time with Michael. As we all know, it turned out to be false. And you told me that one day you went to Michael's management company, Sandy Gillen and them.
Yes.
I forget what they call it. And she was the receptionist then, and she saw some manuscript you wrote that said that mentioned Michael and me. And then years later, she wrote a book called Michael and Me. And you were pr trying to say that she took your idea.
No, I'm not trying to say, I'm saying what she did. What happened was,
Oh.
what actually happened was that I had sat down to write I want to encourage a women book about, celebrities and things like that. So it's more about my experience meeting him and how I met him. And
Right.
I had mentioned to him that I was writing this autobiography about, meeting him and how it happened. And he said, "Well, I'm great, and I didn't think nothing of it. Then I got a call, and they said, "Michael wants the manuscript." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I'm busy right now." And so he called and said, "What star can I see it?" I go like, "I'm, I'm still working on the logistics of it." So finally, someone called from the office and said, "Michael wants to know if you could just give him the hard copy." And I said, "Okay, I'll give him the hard copy." So it was sent to that office, and it was entitled "Michael and You." And I know that was not the pronunciation of it, and I told him that. That's what happened. And so he called me and he says, "Wow," he said, "you didn't put anything in there." I go like, "No, because it's not my story to tell just yet." He said, "I wouldn't mind." I said, "Well, I'm not telling you." And so that's how that went. And so I said, "Well, you can send it back to me," because he said, "Star," he said, "I really don't want you to print it because I don't want to lose that innocence." And I said, "Okay," and I didn't print it. So that's how that happened. And that's how
Okay.
she got the title of that book.
Okay.
And I called, and I went to, now I'm a real woman, okay?
Yes,
I didn't
yes.
go to your fan. I went to her Facebook page, messaged her, and told her. I said, "You put the
Right.
title of my book, right? And I know you."
Yeah.
And so
You okay, repeat that whole thing again because I repeat that whole thing again because I missed that part. You said that you mentioned her on Facebook and you confronted her.
I went to her Facebook page. I didn't confront her. I emailed her and said, "That's the title to my book. I know you got that. I know you got that from." And something else happened. I can't remember what happened. Maybe one of my I think one of my friends or something, I want to say, got hold of the information and post something on her Facebook page about that book or something, because they knew it was they was new. They knew about, a lot of people knew about how me and Michael got, we got the same friends. And anyway, she may have said something about that was Star Hayes' book or something like that, and the fans came in for attack and all of that, and then I had to get involved and go like, "Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute." And I remember saying, "I don't have to defend anything. I know who I am. Ask around.
Right.
All you gotta do is ask around.
Right.
You pull Star Hayes up up until the internet. You know, you're going to probably see me and Michael's picture somewhere. Are you pull up to something that women that Michael, women who Michael loved, you're going to see my picture come up with me sitting on his lap. So I don't have to lie. I don't have to, because the truth is so, so informative and interesting that there's no need to use the lie to make up a story. Did Shannon have a relationship with Michael? No, she did not. Is Shannon a beautiful girl? Yes, she is.
No, no. She got some work done, but okay.
She's a very beautiful girl. But I don't believe she has a relationship with Michael because of the things that she said. Some of the things she said.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way that she did, because she's too, well, give it away, who cares about her? She claims what she claims she believed. She wanted fans to believe the nonsense from Leaving Neverland, and she said that all he did was hang out with little boys, and she called him gay. So, yeah, she didn't have anything with that man.
He just a nut job. Like that.
I think so, too. I don't think he was into her at all.
You know, and with women, a lot of times when women are not chosen, they get defensive. You know, like he's gay.
Oh yeah.
But no,
I noticed that with a lot of them.
Okay, Michael was interested in her. I just think that's what that was, and he kept a lot. You know, Mike kept a lot of his relationship secret.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I wanted to ask
and
you.
That was
yeah, go ahead. You were saying.
Okay.
Yeah, you were saying.
And that was to protect the woman.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to tarnish that. You know, he didn't want that to be tarnished.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect him so much for that. I didn't understand in the beginning, but like, oh, you must be trying to have some, but it wasn't that. He said he know how vicious people are.
Yeah. He's right.
How mean spirit they are. And like he said, don't write the book, not for me, but because of you. I don't want it tarnished.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, what about another woman who wrote a book on Michael named Janice De Silva? She's an interesting character. She also knew Michael, too. I don't know how close she knew Michael, but, she knew Michael for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
what you're saying. She didn't really say it out front, but she... Okay, so after Leaving Neverland came out, she made a weird post on Facebook about how... I don't want to be explicit sexually, but she basically said, you know, Michael is not that way and all that, and she had talked about how he did a sexual act to her. It could be true. I remember I reached out to her after she did that. I contacted her on Facebook. I said, you know, what you did was inappropriate. You didn't have to say all that. And she blocked me. And I thought, okay, that was weird, because I'm on your side. I just feel like you could have, you know, kept that to yourself. But she blocked me. So she's an interesting character. I mean, she wrote a book exposing Shayna's ways and how she's a liar and all that. Okay, that's nice and all. But, you know, I just felt like what she did was kind of weird. Like, you know, you can say he didn't do those things and that's it. You don't have to go and say all those other sexually charged stuff that she said. I'm not going to repeat because it's out there. But, I mean, do you know any... You might not know anything about it. Never mind. But... Yeah, I thought that she was, she knew Michael since the, I think, the early 70s. So, yeah, I don't think he told you about her.
I used to talk to her a little bit every now and then again. You know, we're just different women. And she wanted me to include me in her book. And she called to ask me if she could do that, and I said no. And she said to me, well, you want to do my mic? You better give me permission. And you better be telling you, let me tell you one damn thing. Mm-hmm. You don't know who you're talking to, first of all. Because I don't ever lie about that man. Okay? That's number one. And number two is I don't have to ask they wasn't there.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, but she told me something like that. She told me like that nonsense too. Oh, the estate, I'm cool with his lawyer. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck because, first of all, the estate executives, he hated John Branca. He hated John Branca, and the will is fake. So you just playing yourself right now. And all this estate talk, oh,
okay. You know that.
I'm sorry?
He did not like John Branca, okay?
Yeah, he hated John Branca.
He told me he was a snake, you couldn't trust him. He told me he was a damn snake and you couldn't trust him.
Yeah.
That's what he told me.
All of a sudden, he wanted this horrible man to run his empire? No. It's a fake will. I mean, so what Genesis Silver said, that mess is she's a nut job. She only saying that because she has connections with them. Okay. And what do you need that? You need a lollipop for that? We don't care. You're not going to convince anyone with a working brain that John Branca is a good guy. He's not. John Branca is a demon. And he ruined the fan community when it comes to his legacy and all that. He allowed Leaving Neverland 2 happen. Because if he really cared about Michael, he would have stopped that. I don't want to hear shit about You Can't Sue the Dead. Well, you can stop that documentary. You can stop that. And we doing all the fucking work, and there are fans, in my opinion, who are on the fan community who work for the executives. And I'm not going to change my mind about that. So I believe that to be true. And their influence is what we see now is part of their influence. They did not like the idea of fans attacking them. Like I didn't see the Broadway play, but from what I understand, they trashed the father. I'm like, for what? The Broadway play in New York. The one belittled his father.
Where do you live? You live in New York too?
I live in Philadelphia.
Oh, you live in Philly. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm from Philly. Yes, yes. And from what I understand, Michael has some girlfriends in Philly, but I don't know who they are. I don't know. Probably. But anyway, that's the point. But so the Broadway play, I've read somewhere that from fans who have seen, who have witnessed the play, that they belittled his father. I don't know why. Why did they need to do that? I mean, so it's John Branca is always rewriting this man's history, even with the biopic. I'm not looking forward to that. Because with the biopic, who's gonna play him? I'm sorry?
Yeah, I heard that too, and Jackie and them got on that tail and made them. I heard that.
Yeah, I know Jackie, Marlon, and Tito saw the play. I don't know if. I'm sorry?
It made them change whatever that one negativity, what pops was in there. They made them change that. I don't know.
Good, good.
I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either. I don't know. I'm not ready to, like, I don't know if I'm ever going to see that play. I'm iffy. I don't mind anything they do for him. I'm not one of those fans that say, don't see this, don't see, do what you want. But I will never support an executor who gave Michael problems. No, I will not do that.
Here's my problem with him. Michael was very generous with his fans. Mm-hmm. He would, you know, not charge them. Everything they do comes with a price tag, and I resent it. I resent everything anybody does for Michael Jackson comes with a price tag.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And it's not necessarily geared toward helping the community. So JDP Jackson Foundation, all of you've been on our webpage. We just did a huge thing in February for the homeless.
Right.
We can say a huge thing for the homeless. You could go out for our page, which is one last charity. This is what Michael was about. These people are only in it to make money. Only to make money. And they don't even acknowledge. And here's this thing that really upsets my spirit. They only acknowledge the white book.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I'm doing, you know, why. I'm glad you're doing this interview because I noticed that. They don't, the estate executives don't even care about any of the black fans or black club fans, black people. out there, and they were a big part of a big part of his legacy, and they don't acknowledge it at all. And this is where, in my opinion, like, why I say that it's still racism in the fan community, because they only care about the American fans who are white, and then the European fans, and then the Brazilian fans, and the Japanese fans. But what about black people who've been there from the beginning to the end, who never left them? They just completely, move them aside.
They don't
give a shit.
They don't care. I'm a good example of it. I asked the estate, I said to them, I said, we are Michael's oldest fan club. You know what I'm saying? Why not come for some tickets to their foot? Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
First, they wouldn't respond, but I got a little more aggressive. Oh, we're not doing that. I said, okay. But you know, and I know that if Michael he wouldn't have gave us tickets to their foot.
Oh, yeah.
The brothers
of course.
Give us tickets
of course.
To the concert. The brothers give us tickets to the concert all the time. So you know that we're an integral part of his life and what and our legacy and our work speaks for itself. Look at all the people that we have helped, hundreds, thousands of people, homeless children, kids with autism. And the very least thing you can do is say, hey JDP, come be our guest at the this or that. No. But this white this Japanese guy.
Chinese, I forgot. The
Chinese, they send him stuff. And, people should be outraged.
It's about optics. It's not about the truth. It never will be. And I just feel like, it gets right. Now, I want to get into, the time in the 90s when Michael started, like you said, it was different phases in his life. And he decided to, get married. I'm sorry?
Evolution of Michael, okay? Yes.
And he started to get married to Elvis Presley's only child, Lisa Marie Presley. So, I wanted to know your reaction when you found out that he got married. I'm just curious. I like to... he married Lisa Marie Presley.
Well, I want him happy on any accord, whatever he needed to do to be happy. I want him to have everything that he always wanted, and I think he deserved to be happy. I wasn't necessarily pleased that he married Lisa Marie Presley. I have to be honest about that.
Right.
I felt, and this is my own personal bias, he would have done better with somebody that's a little bit more centered. And when I say centered, one that cooks and cleans, one of those kinds. Kind of a nurturing type of woman more so. Than someone who, had a lot of people that were actually doing those things for her, because I felt like she would have been expecting the same type of treatment per se, but then I came to reality of, if he's happy, I want him happy. So that's what he chooses. Right. Hey, my friend, be happy.
Right. Yeah. I understand. I mean, I get it.
You just think, I know how, you think about how you think realistically how his life has been, and women that he had encountered and how difficult all that must be, and to finally find happiness and peace and whatever he was looking for, and maybe a traditional marriage not have been the thing for him. I can't say because I wasn't, in communication with Michael during that time.
Okay.
But I just wanted him to be happy, and I was not pleased with her.
What do you make of, is this just random? Did you ever get to communicate with Ramon Bain or Grace Wamba? I think that's how you pronounce her last name.
Ramon Bain was so conceited standoffish, stuck up. You know, again, I have no kind words for her. You know, none.
Wow.
So I'm just gonna leave that alone.
Hmm. What about Grace?
I hear from myself. I never met Grace to the point where I had an all in depth conversation with her. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So in passing, you know, though that's great, so high by, you know, one of those kind of things. But
I
am a Facebook friend. I have talked to her on Facebook. She seems to be very pleasant.
Okay. He has an unusual makeup artist that just keeps telling his business. I don't believe half of the stuff she's saying is even true. I think her name is Karen Faye. I don't know if he ever talked to you about her. I know that he didn't really talk to.
Wait.
Okay, say it, repeat that one more time.
To know what my place is, and knowing what your place is as a person, you just don't intrigue, you know, just don't be asking a whole bunch of questions.
Right,
I said,
right.
I learned a long time ago growing up, you don't want the answer to, you know?
Right.
I did.
Okay, you never asked him about Ramon. I mean, not Ramon. You never asked him about Karen Faye, right?
Oh, I didn't.
Okay.
Oh, hey, Michael. What about Karen? No, that's not my place.
Mm-hmm. Right,
you know, that's
right.
That's his makeup artist. He chose her for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I see things, okay? Who am I to criticize the people he chose to work for him?
Right.
Yeah, but he brought it in for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if what she's saying is true or not, you know?
Right.
I don't even know what she was saying, to be honest with you, because I can't even keep up with all the people that have a story. I really can't. But it's her story to tell.
Right.
You know, if she felt like
I understand.
Something intricate and something that she wants to share with the world, and Michael and her, you know, had this type of relationship. Well, you know, hey, who am I to criticize on that? I would do a disservice to myself as a female going around saying, oh, well, you know, yeah, they don't do nothing but tell lies. I can't do that. I can't. That's not fair. Yeah. That's not fair to her. That's not fair to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's just my thought. You know what I'm saying? I'm just putting out there how I feel and how I think as a woman.
Right. Goodness, no. Okay. So, getting back to your connection with Michael. Now, like you said, your relationship with him was whatever it was to him. Whatever it was, it was.
I didn't say that.
I said whatever it was,
when it was. That's what I said.
When it was, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was. Okay.
You got to get the term now, because it could be.
Right, we do.
People
we do.
Are listening to you, and they'll take it out of context, or make it into something and say,
right.
Oh, she said this. And it will be a completely falsehood.
Yes,
and
yes.
I'm not spending the rest of my week defending what I said and what I didn't say.
Yes, and we don't want to do that.
Craziness.
Yeah.
You know how people are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do. They want.
And they come in for shit for summer tech.
Mm-hmm.
No, so no, I'm not gonna say that. You know, very honest.
Right.
And,
as it should be. So did anything intimate happen between you and him, or are you gonna leave that for the book?
Well, you have to read and find out, won't you?
Yes, I do.
You'll be buying the book one.
Oh, yes, I'm definitely going to. I'll be definitely buying the book. Yes, yes. And I will read every page. And speaking of the book, what When do you think you're going to be done with, or you're going to be completed with the book? And besides what I just asked, what other things are you going to include in the book? What, you know, besides what we talked about, what are the things?
You know, I'm real big on, just, how do I say this? Of letting people know how special he was, I'm lost for words. I think about it sometimes. I get kind of sentimental, you know, and lose my train of thought because I want to be accurate and I want to be always be respectful. But I want people to know that, you know, he did the best he could when he could.
Right.
I know people have misconceived notions about him. He should have done that. But he did what he could, how he thought he could do it, when he thought he could do it.
Right. And, what was the last time you had an opportunity to speak to him?
Oh my gosh, I was thinking about that the other day. And, you know, I'm a little bit up in my age right now. And it's been a while. Let's see, I think, right after he made that announcement that he was going on tour. I don't know the exact date on all of that, but it was during that time, and I wanted him to know that I was going to be there.
Right.
And he said to, you know, wait till he gets settled up before, you know, before I come. So that was it.
Oh wow. So 2009. Wow. So that was a lot. Okay.
Yeah, because I was excited about that.
We were all excited about it. Kind of wish he did a Vegas thing instead of that.
Me too.
Because I would have been there.
I really want him to do Vegas.
I wanted him to do that real bad. Because I would have been there in a heartbeat. I was, I'm coming. That's it, I'm coming. Because it would have been awesome. Because everybody in the world would have came to one spot. You know, it would have been easier for the American fans. I've been told he didn't like Vegas, so he came back to California. I guess he didn't like the house in Vegas. He didn't like. There was a house. They sell it now. One of his bodyguards, he didn't write a book on him. He said that Michael didn't like that house. So, he eventually went back to California at that time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
and
so.
I went out there or something like that, but, you know, I was busy with my own life, and so.
Right.
You know, hindsight is 50-50, you know.
Right. Did he ever, like, at times will call you on the phone and just wanted to just speak to you, just talk to you, just to talk to you?
Over the years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get call, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I'm really like, I try not to be, you know, so hard on myself, but sometimes it's very difficult because you think about, like, what could I have done differently that I didn't do?
Right.
And I look back and go like, well, I don't know, because I didn't know a lot of the things that were going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have been out of the loop with him for a long time, too.
Right.
You know. I was happy that he was going on tour. Because I felt like that would be an opportunity for him to get himself reestablished, because, you know, that stardom that was important to him. Not to me. I like to
Right.
before he became that superstar, to be honest with you.
Right.
That's just, you know, my own personal thing. Because he wasn't so thrust into the spotlight and so pushed, and you know, everybody wanted a piece of him.
Right. Do you see he had?
I don't know how did Michael deal with that.
Right. I don't know how anyone can deal with that. Do you think he had some control of his life?
Something what?
Some control of his life, like his own control of his own life, especially the last years of his life.
I think he did, but I think there was so much going up against him, you know?
Right.
People are horrible, you know? When they want what they want, you know?
Yeah.
And they wanted a superstar that could produce. You know, they want money and all that kind of thing. And they want to sacrifice that for his state of mind, his mental health, and So that's hurtful, you know. For me, that's very hurtful. And I don't think it was worth it.
Right, I agree. I kind of wish he would retire after the trial and just go live his life. I mean,
me too.
He did enough at that time. I mean, he had nothing to prove. He could have done like a little TV specials here and there, made some albums. But this, you know, the looking back when he was rehearsing for the tour, the This Is It tour. I mean, because all the videos are online. It's like, it's not really like something you want to see. Because he didn't look well, and we find out that he was not sleeping, and they were poisoning him, and all this horrible stuff. And his family didn't know. They didn't know how bad it was, because nobody told them. So that right there bothered me even more. And, you know, a lot of fans just, they like to hold on to these things, but it's kind of morbid to do that, because it's like, he died doing that for y'all. You know, he could have, it would have been nice if fans encouraged him to say, Michael, you done enough, you can rest, you can go ahead and live your life. Because he gave us 45 years of himself. And, oh, Cheryl? Hello? I didn't mute her.
Oh, God. Yes, I hear you.
Sorry, y'all. Oh, you hear me? Okay, sorry about that. Okay. So he gave 45 years of his life to the fans, and it's like it's not enough. They need this, they need that, and I just feel like,
Well, why do you feel the fans,
you know,
needed
when
that?
Well, the way they take it, like, they could have, do we need him to perform again? I don't know. I mean, I get the trial, a lot of fans, I mean, that time when the trial was going on, that would have been a nice tour. But, you know, Michael did not want a tour during the September 11th situation, we know. And his record label, Sony at the time, was wanting him to tour. He decided to go against Sony. And then next thing you know, we had Leaving with Michael Jackson. That sheer mess, which led to the trial. And then that led to, like at least nonstop bashing by the media. His vindication, and that should have been, you know, hopefully, you know, somebody would have told Michael, you know, you did enough, you can retire, you can move on. I don't know.
But I don't think that's up to the fans. I think that's on the Michael to decide that. I think that he pushed himself, you know, over and over and over again, and it just wasn't worth it. I don't think. I'm like you. I think he should have retired. I think mm-hmm. he has nothing else to prove to nobody else. He's the greatest entertainer in the whole world. What else do you have to prove? What more can he give? You know, I hate it. When I tell you I hate it, I hate it. I hate the fact mm-hmm. that it just, his story was ended like it did.
Yeah, same. I feel the same. I do feel the same.
It's a hurt that just never goes away.
Mm-hmm.
He was so much more than that, you know. Yeah, can he sing and dance? Yeah, but he was much more than just a person that could sing and dance.
Right, right.
You know, I come from a place where everybody can sing and dance in Michigan. That's not impressive. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
But he was such much more than that. He was so kind, so caring, so loving, so giving, so open, so understanding. Mm-hmm. What more could he have given people?
Right.
Why wasn't that just enough?
It does make you think about a lot of things.
Now he's gone. You know, and I'm
angry with
years. I'm better now. I was so angry.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't have happened. It should not have happened.
Yeah. It should not have happened. I totally agree that. I was angry too, and I'm kind of calmed down a little bit. I mean, some stuff still gets me angry, and I just try to ignore it. And I think I use my podcast to, like, you know, express some things about it in a way that's healthy and makes me make peace with it and move on. So, you know, and because I did a blog and on it, same title, but it was called a blog. And now I just do a podcast so I can, like, talk, you know, do, you know, commentaries and reviews and talk to people that knew him so they can get, like, people can get another side of Michael that a lot of people don't know about, because it's actually coming from people of color, or people who are black, who are ignored by most of the fan community, and the state executives. They don't really, it seems like, they don't really care about, you know, the real him. So, you know, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing with this podcast, and anybody that feels the same way. But I'm not as angry as I used to be that much anymore. You know, I kind of like you, fans are gonna do what they want to do, but at the same time, yeah, I'm not gonna stay mad at something that I can't change. All I can do is contribute and try to get people to see, you know, to get people to know the real Michael. So, you haven't got any contact from Taj regarding his docuseries?
No, I have not.
Even though you know his family, particularly his father, Tito, so that's odd. I don't,
not necessarily.
Have you?
It's not like, you know, me and Tito are calling each other on the phone in daily.
Right,
I don't have that
right.
kind of relationship with them. My friendship was basically, I spent more time with Michael. So it's different.
Right.
I am reestablishing a relationship with the family.
Right.
So I can't say that I'm like, oh, you know, Star Hayes is in there. I'm not. And I'm not going, like I said, in the very beginning, I don't lie.
Right.
So,
right. Do you know anybody that has been contacted for Taj's docuseries that might be on there?
No. No, I do not.
Wow. Wow, he's not even just seems like to me he's not even searching, and that's that. Because I remember I sent him a very long email, and I made sure to put names of women Michael was with or connect who claimed to be with him, or really were like you and Monica with him, and I don't know what's going on really. I don't know what to tell some fans if they want to hear. You're right. You're right. It is his docuseries. He did say he doesn't want people telling him what to do.
I respect that. I have nothing but accolades for Taj. You know.
I like the guy too. I'm gonna watch the documentary. I'm gonna support it. But I should not expect anything that I feel should be on there that's gonna be there because I don't think it will be. So I made peace with that. I'm going to have to make peace with that. Let me see. And same with Jin Chohan's documentary. You said, and I did give him your information, and you said that he has not heard. You have not heard from him.
But unfortunately, sweetheart, my phone is going to die out. I got to get out of here and charge it.
Okay.
Thank you for everything that you do to uplift Michael and the fan supporter. I'm so grateful and thankful.
Oh, you're welcome.
To work in truth and love and peace.
I will.
And maybe
I will.
Together we can change the dichotomy of this. I do want to say that we are having a Remembering Michael event August the 28th in Gary, Indiana.
Okay.
We'd love for you to come out to be our special guest, but I want all the fans to come out and support because this is your opportunity to give back. And it's for the charity. It is for the autism program out of Gary.
Okay.
So you'll be giving back to children with autism as well. And so I'll flyer so you can, kind of advertise and help us to get this out.
Sure. I would definitely do that. I think you have my Gmail account. I'll give you another email. You can just email me all that information, and then I can show it up to the fan, my the Facebook page and the Twitter account, so fans know about it.
Thank you.
Yes, I would do that definitely, and talk about my podcast at times.
Okay, I love it, and I'm going. I don't know if you have my personal phone number as well.
Yeah, you text me. Yeah, I have it.
Okay, fantastic. So please reach out to me at any given time. Let's just keep in touch. Keep this conversation going on.
Yes, I will. We will.
Even if we have to get together, do a different type of a documentary, where it's podcast, where we sit there and get Ramon.
Right. I'm thinking about doing that. Right, and I was thinking about doing a documentary anyway on Michael, but I was like, I don't know. But if I get some participants,
I'm in it.
I'm gonna go for it.
You do it. I'll,
yeah, you're gonna be in it.
I'm letting you know.
Yes.
Now.
Okay. I would.
You got me involved. And I'll get more in.
I got you.
I'll get a little.
Yes.
More
okay. You know what? That was something I can do. Yes. I'll see what I can do. I'll get ready for it. But thank you so much, Cheryl. Thank you for taking the time to do this interview.
Thank you, amazing. God bless you and keep you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
So that was all with the interview I did with Star. I hope you guys enjoyed the interview. I know I did. Again, if you have any questions or opinions, please send me an email at michaelandthetruth@gmail.com. And the next episode will be a news and views part 7. We have some topics I want to talk about, and that'll be done sometime late June. So I'm going to take some time off for personal reasons, but when I come back, we're going to get rolling with the episode. So I hope you all have a good day and be safe. Bye.